Let's begin. We are up to Perek Ches, Pasuk Tes Vav. Now we are beginning the actual description or the image of what the Churban is going to look like from a spiritual perspective. It's a very interesting concept, is where there's the world of reality and then there's the world. We always try to imagine that in Shemayim things are happening, they're sending Malachim to assist us, or sometimes, unfortunately, to punish, to bring punishment. So here we're getting a perspective of what the Churban is going to look like from Hashem's perspective. The pasuk here says, "Vayomer Eli Hashem." I jumped ahead. That's really going to be the beginning of Perek Tes, because I was preparing that not that long ago. That's really the beginning of Perek Tes. But before we get there, we have still a few more psukim to describe the sins, the severe averos of Bnei Yisrael at this point in time. Now we learned last week. We learned the abomination. We learned the collection of abominations that Yechezkel was shown. He saw that they were offering ketores, the asar anan haketores, to the idols, and we discussed contrast of the ketores to Hashem versus the ketores to the avodah zarah. The ketores to Hashem is just minimal. It's a small amount in the morning, a small amount in the afternoon, whereas the ketores that was being offered in the Beis HaMikdash to the Avodah Zarah was continuous. It was described as Asar, the Asar Anan HaKetores. And then we learned about the images that were etched upon the walls of the Azara, the most disgusting things, the Remes, the Shekets, and the Chol Tavnis Remes of Behema. We learned about that Avodah, we learned about those sins. And then now we're going to learn about the third, and then the third sin that we learned about is the Noshim. We spend a lot of time on this. Yoishvois Mivakois Es Hatamos. We learned about the women that were crying over the Avodah Zarah called Tamos. We had so many different interpretations of what exactly that means. That was last week. So Sach HaKol, I think we really focused on three major sections of Avera. The Averos of the images etched on the walls of the Azara. The Avera of the Ketores that was being offered in honor of these images on a special Mizbeach that was built in the Beis HaMikdash. And maybe you want to also add the Avera of the erected an image, an Avodah Zarah Mamish, inside of the long, not inside, outside, on the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash. There was an image that was, there was an Avodah Zarah, an idol that was positioned as you came into the Beis HaMikdash. And then we learned about the Tammuz. And now we're going to learn about another Avera. And this Avera is actually find its way, it's mentioned in Masechta Sukkah. It's mentioned that during the time of the Bayi Shemi, Bnei Yisrael tried to be Mesakin, tried to be Mechaper on the Avera that we're about to learn right now. It seems, what we're going to learn will seem extremely bizarre, but obviously there is some great depth in what was happening here. Pasuk in Tazvav, Yomer Ha'ilai, Haro'is, Hashem says to Yechezkel, Haro'isa ben Adam, have you been Adam? Have you seen Od? Haro'isa ben Adam, Od, have you seen what I'm about to show you? Do you see Haro'isa ben Adam? Period. Od, Toshuv Tireh, I want to show you something else. To'evos gedolos me'ela, let me show you sins that are even greater, even worse than what you've seen thus far. Pasuk Tezvav in the Mitzudos David. Haro'isa behe hasheela. It's a question. It's a rhetorical question. Kishalu im hishkiach liros. Did you pay attention to take note of this particular sin that is taking place in the Beis Hamikdash? Me'ela asher kvaru isa. The sin I am about to show you or to direct your attention to is even worse than the sins that you have seen in the previous psukim. Pasik. Let's see. Rashi. Pasik tes vav. There is none. Madak pasik, Bradak pasik, Tesvav, Vayomer, Gidolos Meile, Ba. I'm coming to show you now more sins. Kasher Lamala, Leomar Meile. Now, I don't know what the word Ba there means. Bo means come. I think it means Bo, come into the Beis HaMikdash. Kasher Lamala, Leomar Meile. Shaha Yushova Satevo Sohem. Okay, so here the Radak is telling us that the reason why it says in Pasuk Tezvav is I want to show you Od Toshuv Tireh Toevos Gedolos Me'ele, and this expression was not mentioned in regard to the previous series of Averos of the Tammuz and of the Avodah Zarah and the Ketores and of the Avodah Zarah, because this Avera is considered in Hashem's eyes to be much worse. What does it say over here? Shahayu Amoy Rehem El Heichel. I think it's a mistake. I have in my text Amoy Rehem. I believe it should be Achoy Rehem. Okay, you have a ches in your text? You have a ches. You have the correct way. So my edition is a mistake. Okay. Shahayu Achoy Rehem El Heichel Hashem. Upnem Kedma. We're going to read now is that the people, they were facing backwards. Their backs were towards the Heichel, and they were facing eastward towards the sun, because the Heichel is in the west. And when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichel is in the west, so that means that your back is towards the east, your back is towards the sun. If you're coming in the morning, when the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, so if you come into the Beis HaMikdash first thing in the morning, your back is going to be towards the sun, and your face is going to face the Heichel, the Kodesh HaKodashim. Here they turn backwards. They would face the sun, and they put their backs towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim as an act of disrespect. Worse than that, we're going to see soon. They lowered their trousers and their undergarments to expose the back of their legs, and they relieved themselves as they bowed to the sun, as if to say, to you, Hashem, to the sun we worship, and to you, Hashem, we release waste, and we release a foul odor. I just want to make the point I saw over here. I'm jumping ahead in the comment in the comments. Just to keep this in mind, this is Avera is considered to be by Hashem the worst of the worst. Now you'll ask, why is this the worst of the worst? What about Moilech offering children as sacrifices to isn't that the worst? To take a child, offer it as a sacrifice to a god, and all the various types of others are here. What they're doing is, relatively speaking, harmless. What are they doing? They're bowing down to the sun, and they're relieving
total
themselves.
Disrespect.
Total disrespect. Absolutely, absolutely. But no one's being harmed here. They're not killing a Navi. They're not killing a child. Okay, the children, you know, Moilech is the biggest har. To take a child and to burn a child as a human sacrifice, to go take, to kill, to harass the Nevi'im, to torture the prophets.
That's like a positive to the Avodah Zarah as opposed to a negative to Hashem.
So you're touching upon the answer. The answer which the Medrash says, okay, we have to really see the words. I just want to keep this idea in mind. Is what's unique about this is it's happening simultaneously. They're worshipping idols in one act. They're worshipping the sun. They're bowing to the sun. And as they bow to the sun, they are discharging waste to Hashem. This is unique, because all of the types of things that Klal Yisrael did to anger Hashem, it's one at a time. You'll offer incense to the idol. So when you're offering the incense to the idol, obviously it's an insult to Hashem, because how could you offer an incense or a sacrifice to an idol but it's not a direct, it's indirectly insulting Hashem. Or if you want to insult Hashem, there's a Birchas Hashem, Rachman al-Islam. Birchas Hashem, a person is Mevorech Hashem. So that's an insult to Hashem. But you're not at that same moment in time offering, selecting a replacement. Here, it's unique. This is a very important idea. It's at the same moment, simultaneously, when they are worshipping a god, the sun. At that exact moment, they're doing the most disgusting thing, the most greatest disrespect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to read into the pasuk. It's a pasuk we learn in Yirmiyah. Kishnayim rohos asuli. I'll read you the Medrash in a moment. Kishnayim rohos asuli. We read this in the Haftarah on one of the weeks, I think, before Tisha B'Av. You've done two sins. It's not just that you've done two sins. You've done these two sins simultaneously. And that degree of sophistication angers Hashem more so than the other averos, which are just done one at a time.
The Eitz Hara of Avodah Zarah, which we don't supposedly have today, which was very strong then, we had a very strong desire for Eitz Hara to worship other Elilim and all that. But to relieve yourself to anger Hashem, that's, I don't know if that's part of the Yetzirah.
Maybe that's a good question. Right, that's a good question. Is that part of the Yetzirah, or was that...
Or is that something they did, the Hachas, people
who
the
Yetzirah? That's an extreme.
That's why it's also so...
Right, so maybe they're saying that's worse because there's no Yetzirah for that. That's why this angers Hashem so much more, because Avol Dezara, they have Yetzirah. But to do this, there's no Yetzirah to do this. So
just,
why?
You don't like this God, you abandon him. That's it.
So why are you doing this disrespect? That, in Echadayim, maybe is the reason why it's considered to be Me'ele, it's considered here to be much worse than the other verse. It's a very good point.
In Echadayim. All five senses. They were using all five senses for Avol
Dezara. All five senses, here they're using Reah.
The Keteris, the Reah, the yelling, and sound coming and going, looking at the pictures of Exor. This is basically the digestive system.
Yeah.
What difference does it make a difference? Which end of the digestive system you're looking at?
I think you said another point is that here they're using the koyach of reach to insult Hashem. It's one thing to use the koyach, the matter keteres. To Keteres, you offer a pleasant reach nichoyach to bring to Hashem a pleasant fragrance. Here, you're taking the most repulsive odor, and you're giving it to Hashem. It's the extreme opposite of Keteres. Okay, let's see. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you bring Keteres, and here they're doing mamish, the complete opposite of Keteres by releasing this repugnant odor. So one more time, we'll read these words over here, and again, it's the middle pasuk tezvav. We are in the middle of the Radak, or on the second or third line. Shahayu achoy rehem el heichal Hashem. Their backs were towards the heichal. Ufnem kedma. Veheim hayu oisim hepuch mikavana sakel. They did the opposite of what Hashem wanted from them. Ki lechavana zot siva hakel pesach hamishkan. The reason why Hashem instructed that the Pesach should be on the east, the Kodesh HaKadoshim Lemayrav, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim should be on the west, Levatel Avodas Hashem Shayuragilim Bo Be'Oisa Hazman. It was a very common form of idol worship in these times, ancient times, to worship the sun. So if they would come in, if Hashem would instruct that the Kodesh HaKadoshim should be put on the east side, facing eastward, when you would walk into the Beis HaMikdash early in the morning, you would be facing the sun, and people would be faced with the Yetzirah to bow down to the sun. So Hashem deliberately told Klal Yisrael to put the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the west side. The entrance should be on the opposite side, so when you walk in, your back is towards the sun, and your face is towards the Kodesh. And when they were coming to the Mishkan, Acharehem LaShemesh, their back should be towards the sun. She timche ha'emuna ha'him milibam, in order to erase the faith in the sun from their hearts. V'chein tziva b'mikdash shalomis, and that's how it should be forever, in order to mimavatel the koyach the yetzara for worshiping the sun. And what did these people do? They did here just the opposite. The Atah now, Bidlu HaMitzvah HaKavana, they umavatel the Hashem's desire, v'chziru p'neim me'avodas tokel u'mehishtachavoyz k'neged Beis HaMikdash, and they turned their face from bowing to Hashem and bowing to the Beis HaMikdash, and the opposite... Okay, this thing is making a lot of noise. You maybe want to... Should we set it? Okay, let's see now. He's going to go to the Pesukim. Once it says that their faces were eastward, don't we automatically know that their backs were towards the west? They would expose their backs. Their backs towards Hashem and release waste. That we're going to see in the next pasuk. Let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Tez Zayin. Vayavei Si Hashem says to Yecheskel, Hashem brought me El Chatzar Beis Hashem Hapnimis. Hashem took me inside of the Azara. V'hinei and behold, Pesach Heichal Hashem Bein Ulam Bein Amizbeach. And the entrance to the Ulam. There are three entrance ways into. There's the Azara, then there is the Ulam, and then there is the entrance to the Heichal. So here he's showing the Pesach Heichal Hashem, Bein Ulam Ubein HaMizbeach, in between the Ulam. So you write in the center of the Azara, between the Ulam and Ben Amizbeach, there was Ke'eshim v'chamisha ish, there were 25 people there. Acharehem, their backs, El Heichal Hashem, their backs were towards the Heichal, Upnehem Kedma, and their faces were Kedma, were facing eastward, Vehema Mishtacha Visem. Now this is an unusual word. We would expect it to say Mishtacha Vim. Why does it say Mishtacha Visem? So we'll see that in a few moments. It means the same thing anyway. They were bowing down. Kedma Lashemesh, they were bowing down towards the sun, but at the same time they were exposed in the back and they were releasing waste, period. Let's see, Mitzudas, another Pasik Tezayin. El Chatzar Beis Hashem HaPanimis, return the Lema Chatzar HaPanimis, Shol Beis Hashem, Vihi Ezras HaKoyhanim. This was inside of the area of the Azara that only Koyhanim were allowed to stand. The first 11 Amos was called the Ezras Yisrael, and then from the 11 Amos onward was the Ezras Koyhanim. Pesach Hechel Hashem, Ritzen Olemar, Mul Pesach Hechel, the Chalal HaAzara, Ben Ulam, Ben Mizbeach. There were 25 men standing in this area, right in front of the entrance to the Ulam, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and there was 25 men, and here there's a Chof Hadim Ki Esrim, Ritzen Olemar, Amdu Ki Esrim, the Chamish Ish, approximately 25 people. The Medrash asked the question, why the approximation? Were there 25 people, or were there more or less than 25 people? So I don't know what I don't understand what it says. It says something there along the lines that these 25 people were shakol kineged kol Yisrael. Now what does that mean exactly? I don't know. I don't know what that means. What do you mean they were tzaddikim? If they were tzaddikim, what are they doing? What are they acting in such a wicked way?
They represented.
They have represented that.
Well, the number 25.
Why the number? Why the number? So it doesn't say doesn't it doesn't. So it could be maybe that same of kohanim. It could be. I don't know. I didn't see any number, but perhaps the number 25 is a significant number in reference to the Kohanim. Kohanim's the number on their jersey was 25. Why? Koi Sevaruchu Bnei Yisrael. Kohanim, their avoda is to give bracha to Klal Yisrael, and the word begins Ko Chaf Hey. And in fact, Mefarshim explained, this is already a medrash, is that the Kohanim received 24 matanos. There are 24 gifts that we are obligated to give to the Kohanim. Birchos Kohanim is the 25th gift. The question is, why is that a gift? It's something that they have to do, that's a service. That's not a gift. And the simple answer is, the ultimate gift is the ability to give. The fact that they have been entrusted with blessing Klal Yisrael to be the medium, to be the vehicle through whom Hashem will bless Klal Yisrael, that is considered to be the ultimate gift. So therefore it's Ko Sivaruchu number 25. So perhaps, I'm just saying a drush, perhaps the reason why there were specifically 25 Kohanim that were here to do this Avera was because they're trying to reject, they're trying to say, Hashem, you gave us the bris of Kohuna to serve in your Beis HaMikdash, the number 25, Ko Sivaruchu. Here we're going to take that Koyach of Ko and we're going to use it for Avodah Zarah. And at the same time, Rahman Ritzlan, they're going to expose themselves and release waste. So the 25.
Is there any rational understanding why they were so anti?
Why? I don't know. I really don't know. It doesn't make sense, right? It does not make sense. It's one thing you want to. One thing you want to do in Avera. So listen to hate. Who's stopping you? What do you have to come into? What do you have to come and do this? Expose yourself. It doesn't matter. Right.
Anger.
It has to come from anger. It comes from anger. Right.
I don't know why.
What's the anger? What did Hashem do to them that they should be so angry to do something like this?
You see this every day when someone gets angry, he runs it there.
Look, Achmar Litzlan, you know, people, you hear this, people are angry. They're very people, Achmar Litzlan, who suffer. They're angry. And Achmar Litzlan, they're angry at Hashem. It's not uncommon.
It's not necessarily rational when you're angry.
Okay, but some people are, you know, it's not uncommon. It's a very big nisayon. Chazal said to the person, he says, kefira. He's not held accountable for things that he says against Hashem. B'shas tzaray. Eina, the nusach of the Gemara. Adam nitvas b'shas tzaray. When a person is in a state of pain, if from his mouth comes forth words of that are disrespectful to Hashem, Hashem doesn't hold him accountable, because what do you want from the poor fellow? He's suffering. It's a very great madrega to be able to be oimid bin nisayon and to be mekabel yisurim be'ahava. And listen, we don't know. I really, it's like you're saying, the questions are much, much greater than any possible answer we can imagine. We don't live during their time. We don't understand the Yetzer of the Zara. We don't know what they were going through, why this came about. But one thing is for sure, Hashem held them accountable. Hashem was not forgiving in what they did, and they suffered, and they were severely punished for their actions, for their conduct.
They were Kohanim? These were Kohanim?
It doesn't say, but this is the Beis HaMikdash, this is the between the Heichal and the Mizbeach, this is the place where the number 25 means everything. Koy Sevaruch Hu Es B'nei Yisrael. I'm just suggesting the reason why 25 here is a prominent number is because the number 25 is the number that the Kohanim cherish. Everything about the Kohanim, I mean, everything really is 24. There are 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, there are 24 Manos Kohuna, they live in 24 cities, their life 24 is about Kohuna, but Koh Sevaruchu is the 25th, which Kohel the 24. Okay, next words. The next word over here is the words Mishtach Avisem. So the Metzudah over here is coming to question, why does it say this unusual word Mishtach Avisem? He mila mukeves mehashtach ava, mehashchosa, mehishtach avia, and bowing. It's not a real word. It's a word means they were doing something disgusting, hashchosa, or destructive. But destructive. But it's also related to the word bowing. Also, we have transformed the word to mean bowing, which means exactly what we said before. This was what was unique, that in one act, in one maisa, they did two things. They worshipped an idol, and they, by bowing, they opened up their openings in order to release waste and a repugnant odor to Hashem. So it was hashchosa towards Hashem, and it was hishtachava towards the sun. One act which captured both. They disgraced, they destroyed the heichel by disgracing it. They exposed themselves backwards. They hit rizu, and they gave forth, they discharged waste. And also the same moment they bow down to the sun. Okay, let's see what it says in Rashi, Pasik Tezayin. Rashi says, "Vayovo si el chatzabes Hashem hapeninis hi haazara, Hashem brought Yecheskel into the azara, ki har habayis nikra hachatzar chitzayna. The har habayis is called the chitzayna, the outside. Ve'adachshav betoicha hayom, and until this point in time, Yecheskel was in the har habayis. He was standing by the north gate, coming in on the har habayis into the heichel, into the azara. Elashu nichnas b'shar hatzifayni. He was coming through the north gate." Hashem showed him on the north side the Tammuz that we learned last week. And now Hashem is taking him, moving him towards the east to show him what's going on in between the Heichel and the Mizbeach. Ufneim Kedma, Rashi says, Mimashma Shenema, this is the Gemara, Ufneim Kedma, once it says that they were facing eastwards, Yodeani. So why then does the pasuk need to say this? Ella, the answer is magid shahayu achareim migule. They exposed themselves. Shayu poirim atzmam. They would expose themselves. Umatri zin klapimata, and they would discharge towards the ground waste. Mishtach avisem b'shtei tevos hu mishamesh. Exactly what the mitzvah says. There are two different words here coming together. Loshon hashchosa. The lashon hishtach avoya. Kain hu biyushalmi mashchisim aheichel. They would destroy the heichel ubishtachavim lachama, and they would bow down to the lacham, to the sun. The chayin tikkun yonasan viinun mischablin usigadin. He takes two words. The Targum translates this word as two separate words. They would mechablin, which means destroy, and at the same time usigadin, they would bow down. Umenachem chibroy lashon shichoyach. Shichoyach means to bow, to bend. Kmo shichi v'navora, he only translates it as one word. Okay, so it seems that Menachem does not find this word to be a word that is unusual, which is a composite of two different words, but rather he says the word hishtachavisem comes from the word shichoyach, which means lie down. lie down and let us step on you. We have this in the Kinos in Yeshaya, Shechi v'Navara, lie down and we're going to step upon you. So it does not imply hashchosa. Okay, Radak, let's see, Radak, Pasik Tezayin. Pasik Tezayin, Vayaveh Oisi Al Chatzah Beis Hashem HaPanimes, Hi Oisa Chotzer Shezochar. This is the courtyard we mentioned before. Ela Shezi Oisa Mimakam Al-Makam Bechatzar Ki Hoyel Chaletzat HaTzafayin Bepesach HaTah. Until this point in time when he was observing the Tammuz, he was on the north side, Kemo Shepirashnu. V'yatoh, and now Heviyo L'Mizrach HaHechel, now Hashem is bringing him towards the east. V'roni Soch Chutz LaPesach HaHechel, Bein Ulam L'Mizbech, Ki Mizbech Oila Hi Lefneho Ulam V'Azara, between the Ulam and the Mizbech, the Mizbech is positioned in front of the Hechel, like you all know from the Gemara, Mesech Yoma, Mesech Midos. Mishtach HaVisem, what is this word? So he's taking the opinion of Rashi's first interpretation of the Mitzudos. Mila Murkeves Min Mishtach HaVim V'Hishtach HaVisem. Two words. Bowing down and destruction. V'tam Arkova Omar HaNavi, Kimotza Oysam, the reason why the Navi has invented, has created here a new word. That's very interesting that the Nevi'im are allowed to invent new words. He added a new word into the dictionary. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to add new words into the Hebrew dictionary, into Lashon HaKodesh? Well, he did it. Well, today in Eretz Yisrael, you do whatever you want. But this is what he did. That's what it says he did. Motza, this is a very interesting point. When you discuss the Hebrew language, he made this... It appeared,
he made a new word, but it doesn't mean hashchas.
It was accepted.
What?
It doesn't mean hashchas.
What do you mean hashchas? It means both, he's saying. It's
no,
a milu mukeves. Yeah.
It means they bow down and they ask other people.
V'tam Arkav Amar Hanavi ki Motz Oysam Anoshim Mishtachavim Kemu L'Shemesh V'Amar L'Nichnasim Hishtachavisem Shter Sheila.
You also bow down.
So the literal meaning means it's a hifl to cause others,
right.
To cause others to bow down. But then what's the mem? It should be.
But he doesn't mention anything about Mashkisim. It's a Mishtachavim and Hishtachavisim.
Of Hishtachavisim, the Hishtachavisim. So Hishtachavisim means to cause other people to bow down.
With a hey.
With a Hishtachavisem. With a hey is cause others to bow down. And Mishtachavim means you bow down. So nothing to do with disrespect. Hashchasa. V'tamar kava, Omar Hanavi, ki motz osam hanoshim Mishtachavim keid mo l'shem. Mishicheska saw these people were bowing down. V'omar la nichnasim. And these people were trying to use their influence on other people who came in. Hishtachavisem derech she'ela. Did you also bow down to the sun today? V'yonasam perash hamila mukemes min mashchisim. He quotes Yonasam, which means destruction. U'mishtachavim, k'shetirgim, he translates it in two different words, mischablin and sigidin. First to destroy and then to bow down. V'chein b'divrei rabbeinu mashchisim ha'heichal. They would destroy the heichal. U'mishtachavim l'chama. And they would bow down to the sun. Okay, now before we go further, let me just mention some of the Midrashim, or some of the Mamar Chazal. Okay, the first thing is, this really is what, this took place at the tail end of the Bayis Rishon. In the Bayis Sheni, at the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they made reference to this. When they dance, it's a Mishnah in Sukkah. When they would dance, when they would actually dance, I'll read you the words of the Mishnah. Amru kol mi sheloi roha simcha space hasheva loi roha simcha miyamav. Hegil l'shar hayotzim mizrach. When they carry the water from the gate, hayotzim mizrach. And they brought the water in the gate on the east side. That's Shar Nikanor. Hafchu Pneim Lamarov. They turned towards the Marov. The Amru, and they said that location. The Amru. Avoseinu, our forefathers, Shohoyu Bamokim Hazeh. What did they do? Let me skip over the commentary to get to the exact words. Achai Rehem El Hechel Hashem. Their backs were towards the Hechel, Ufneim Kedma, and their faces were eastward towards the sun. The Hema Mishtachavisem. Okay, the Mishnah actually uses this unusual word. It's a very interesting point. Vehema mishtacha visem kedma la shamesh, and they bow down eastwards towards the sun, but we are not like they. Ve'onu l'ka einenu. We are being misakened for their chet. We, to Hashem, are our eyes directed, not like our forefathers. So it seems that, and this is a Mishnah, I'm quoting you a Mishnah, not a Gemara, it's not a Medrash, it's Mamish, a Mishnah, Mesechta Sukkah, Perikei, and it goes to show how deep the Saver was in the conscience of Klal Yisrael, that during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they had to make mention of the sin, and to take note that we are now being misaking this sin by putting our backs to the sun and facing only Hashem.
So when did they do that?
At the Simchas Beis HaShoeva.
Which? By Yisrishin?
By Sheni. Of course the By Yisrishin. The By Yisrishin is now coming to an end. The By Yisrishin, they never did this, of course. Because now the By Yisrishin, now, you know, Hashem is describing Yecheskel what's taking place at the tail end of the By Yisrishin. And now the Mishnah is describing what's going on during the time of the By Yisrishin. So the By Yisrishin, that's going to be mechaper for the sin that took place during the time of the By Yisrishin. Okay, now what are the other things I want to mention is... Did you note that it was not enough? It was nokel. It was light. It was easy for the Jewish people to do the averos that I mentioned you in the previous psukim. I mentioned back the Tammuz and putting the images of all the different types of creatures on the walls and worshiping them by offering sacrifices to them, ketores, and putting up an avodah zarah in the hechol. That was child's play, relative. Because they had to go out of their way, because all of those averos included kimalu as aretz chamas, because in addition to all of the sins that I've mentioned before, they've also filled the entire earth with chamas. The entire Yerushalayim is filled with violence, with theft. Chamas means injustice, but that was all child's play relative to what they're doing now. Vayashuvu, they return lahachiseni, to anger me by doing what I've just shown you, exposing themselves and bowing to the sun. And we're going to summarize what they are doing with the following term. Vihinam, they, sholchim, are sending forth es hazimoyra. The zmer is a hard word to translate. El apam, to their nostrils. Now, what is the word zimoyra? So according to the Mitzudos, let's see right away, the Mitzudos, Sion Miloshon Zemer. Now, it doesn't mean song. I'm not probably pronouncing it correctly. It means an object that of waste that comes forth from the body. That can either refer to phlegm, okay, phlegm or mucus that comes from the mouth and the nose, or it can refer to waste which comes from the other end of the digestive tract, excrement. That the word zemer is a catch-all. Anything which comes forth from the body, which is considered to be a waste product, is the zemer. So here it says the zemer is coming el apam. Now that's very interesting, because what we've read over here in the pasuk is referring to waste, excrement, and apam is the nostril. So what's going on over here? You're taking over here. It's the wrong part of the body. It's true that what comes forth from the nostrils is zemer, but that's not what they're doing. What they're doing over here is the zemer which is coming from the other. Yet the pasuk is being poetic and is saying what they're doing over here is they're taking that zemer that's coming from the other end of their body and they are bringing it towards their nostrils. And what does all of that mean? So going through here a whole long list of interpretations. First, the Mitzudot started. Pasuk Yitzayin begins. Hara Isa Beha Shela. Did you see Hanokel? Return to Leimar. Asher Nokel Levnei Yehuda Hamasim Shasu Meos. It was not enough. It was easy. It was child's play. The sins they have committed thus far. Mibliyas Soyis Esatoevos Soeilas Shasu Po besides the sins that they're doing now. What they've done until now was too easy, and that's why they had to upgrade their sins by doing the aver we witness now. It wasn't enough of what they already did. They have to come now to the Beis HaMikdash and anger me by doing these abominations. Now, what are they doing? How does Hashem define the sin that they're doing now? Vinam sholchim, they are sending forth. V'hinei, behold, ato now, heim sholchim el apam, they are bringing to their apam, to their nostrils, reyach hora, this detestable, repugnant odor, bezemer, through the waste. You have over here the Google translate what it means, zemer? You found what it means? How to pronounce it? The hora, bezemer, horuach, hayoitze mipi hatabas, the waste that comes from the rectum. The ace yat rizu, when they discharge waste, period. Now, what does this mean? So here, the Mitsudo stuff, it says that really what it means is v'hu tikun soifrim, the pasuk is not accurate. It was changed. It's euphemistic. Why? V'horoi el api. This is critical. This, he quotes one of the 18 psukim, I think it's maybe, I don't know if it's in Yecheskel or the entire Tanakh, where the pasuk is written as a euphemism, Hashem's referring to himself, but it's not dignified, it's not respectable to refer to yourself in such a fashion. So therefore you change the expression to refer to a person, but it's self-understood. So therefore, what does the pasuk mean? They're sending forth this repugnant odor to my nostrils. In other words, instead of offering me ketores, to bring me a nachas ruach, a reach nichayach, this is the ketores that the Jewish people are offering Hashem. They are producing repugnant odor, and they're saying, Hashem, this is for you. This is in place of the reach nichayach, vayorach Hashem es reach nichayach. This is how Klal Yisrael is replacing that avoda. V'hinam sholchim es hazmoira, which means the repugnant odor, el, really what it means, el api, to my nostrils. Hashem doesn't want to say that, because that's disgraceful. So we change the expression, el apam. This is the interpretation of the...
Now how is this pasuk worse than what they did then? That's already described in the previous...
Right, so this is a summary. The previous pasuk, the previous pasuk doesn't even say it explicitly. All this the previous pasuk was, says is that they were facing east, and their backs were towards... was back towards the west. Doesn't say anything. That's an innocent pasuk. Chazal say this repetition. If it says that they were facing east, isn't it self-understood that their backs were towards the west? It must then be that it's coming to teach us. What is it teaching us? That they expose themselves and they discharge waste and odor. Here, Hashem is summarizing what they're doing by saying... Do you take note exactly? And the way Hashem describes this is sholchim es hazmaira el apam, which Hashem really means el api, and Hashem is not going to take this sitting down. Hashem is going to go on and going to bring korban because of this. It summarizes. It's in a very, very, very powerful idea. This is really summarizing the entire disgust Hashem has with the Beis Hamikdash, because the very first thing we learn about bringing korbanos in the Torah is when Noach brought a korban. And what does it say there? Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach. The first carbon mentioned in the Torah. I know it says in the Medrash that Adam brought a carbon and Cain brought a carbon and Cain brought a carbon, but that doesn't say that. It says Noach, Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach. This defines the essence of what a carbon is, to bring Hashem a reach nichoyach. On Yom Kippur, what is the highlight of the Avodah? To be makdir the ketores, lifnai v'lifnim. And here Hashem says, this is what's finished, this is mamash the end, because the next sukkah will go on to describe the korban. This is the end. Hashem says, let me show you the last aver that they have done, which is the makeh v'patish on the korban beis hamikdash. And what is it? These words. These words are unbelievable words. V'hinam sholchim es hazmara el, pretty much what he means, el api. K'neged v'yorech Hashem reach nichoyach. This is what Klal Yisrael is doing to me. The time of the Beis HaMikdash is over. I'm now going to Perek Tes. We're going to bring in the enemy, the army. They're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
This is the first Beis HaMikdash.
Yes. The first Beis HaMikdash. Yes. Okay. So this is what the Mitzvah Stone, how he interprets. Rashi is different. Rashi says, let's see first beginning of the Rashi. Rashi beginning pasuk zayin hanakal lebeis Yehuda. Is it hamaat lohem bekal beinem shor aveir shebiyadam? Yudzayin pasuk yudzayin in Rashi. Is it small to them? Is it light in their eyes? The averos that they've done so far. Me'asos es ha'toevos im hoyu chadelim me'asos es kol ha'toevos asher osu bebeis yipo. If they would have held back, if they would not have done what they did now, it would have been enough. You know, Rashi is learning the pasuk a little bit differently. Not like the Mitzudas, is that the Mitzudas says is that it, in their eyes it was child's play what they've done thus far. Therefore, they have to come into the Beis HaMikdash and do something more, do something worse, to show Hashem what they think of him. Rashi says, you've done enough. you've already done such terrible averos. It's not necessary for you to have done this. Was it light in your eyes? I think according to Rashi, it's more rhetorical. Was it light in your eyes? If they would have ceased to do all of the averos they did in the Beis HaMikdash, now it would have been enough. You've already done enough averos to show me what you think. It was light in their eyes, that sin of causing there to be violence and injustice in the land, and it wasn't enough for them. Vayashuvu, they had to take it upon themselves to return lahachiseni, to anger me b'soich beisi, in my home b'toevo so'ele, by committing these abominations. What are they doing? This pasuk cannot be emphasized enough. I know even though it sounds a little graphic and a little something you wouldn't want to teach children, but it really says it all. It really is the full cycle from the beginning of time until the end of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of this world was Hashem to be Mashveh Shechina upon this world, which was accomplished and achieved through the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And here, and the Mikdash, we bring Hashem a Nachas Ruach. And here it's telling us the very end of Perek Ches, leading into the Churban Perek Ches, this is the Makeh B'Patish, the final blow. V'hine, now here the Rashi is different than the Mitzudos, Sholchim El Choytmam, they're sending to their own nostrils, Rashi takes the word literally, es reach ra shel zemoira, the repugnant of this, of the waste, the excrement that is coming from their rectum, zu, shehe mazrimim, which they eject, the ruach, through the odor, hayoitze mi pi tabas, through the rectum, kiloimar. Now what does this mean, Rashi? Boishtom ze el pineyem yoshev. You will be ashamed one of what you have done. What you think, you're causing me harm. I don't need you. I don't need your korbanos. I don't need your Beis HaMikdash. It's all for your benefit. And the day will come when you will be ashamed of what you have done. So the hinam, they, the Jewish people, sholchim, they are sending es hazmora, this foul odor, el apam, to their own nostrils. It's disgusting. It is repugnant. It is unpleasant to experience such a thing. And that's right. The unpleasantness is for you, not for me. And this fits very well into the Gemara, the Mishnah we just mentioned a few moments ago in Masechta Sukkah. That is why, at the time of the Bayesheni, they made mention of this. They made mention that we indeed have put ourselves to shame. We put ourselves to shame by doing this terrible thing of this ma'aser that we mentioned in this pasuk. Menachem Perish, he learns. Now Menachem is learning exactly like the Mitzudos, I think. Vinam sholchem es hazmoira el apam inyan doifi v'kolon hu. This disgrace, this defect and shame, l'perusho hishve reyach mikat rasam, the fragrance of their incense, the chaas korbanam, and their anger of their sacrifice, v'nichoichim lemeleches doifi nikavim, to the defect of their nikavim v'achayrehem el hechal Hashem yoreh al inyan. You know what? I don't really know what he means. You know, did anyone want to suggest what Menachem is trying to say, his interpretation? Is he saying like the Mitzudos? Is that he translates the word Zemora as defect. Vinam Sholchim Es Hazmara, which is the Doifi Nikovim. Perish Vinam Sholchim Es Hazmara Elapam Inyan Doifi Vikolon Hu. Doifi means a defect and shame. Liperushoi Hishver Reach, we are equating the Reach Mikatartam. Now what does that mean? The fragrance of their korbanos?
The incense,
the chaas korbanam, the nichoicham, and the anger that they brought to Hashem by offering sacrifices and pleasant fragrances, l'meleches, they're offering it as a sacrifice to whom? Not to Hashem, to l'meleches doifi nikovim, they're offering it to waste. I guess Hashem over here is equating avodah zarah with an object of excrement. So when it's the hinei sholchim es hazmoira, they are sending forth sacrifices, kitoires, to who? Es hazmoira, elapom. I don't know how to translate the words according to what he's saying. V'achodeim el hechel yore al inyan, being that the previous passage discusses waste, so too that's what it means over here. From the gist of what Menachem is saying, it appears that he means that Hashem is complaining that they're offering sacrifices to idols that in my eyes are equivalent to excrement. It's a disgusting thing for the Jewish people to offer an animal to the sun. The sun in my eyes is nothing more than an excrement.
What could it be the method, the way they worshipped
Baal Pa'ar. That was a special of the Zohar called Baal Pa'ar. Baal Pa'ar was you release waste. That's how they. But that doesn't seem what he's saying over here. He's mentioning korbanos. He's mentioning nichoichim, which means pleasant fragrance. It seems that what he's coming to say over here is, like I mentioned, is that Hashem is disturbed. Why do they worship the sun? Why do they worship these idols? In my eyes, these objects are nothing more than waste. Okay, again, that's not what Mitzudo said. The Mitzudo says is that they are sending off to HaKadosh Baruch Hu repugnant odor to anger Hashem. And according to Rashi, what you're doing is you're harming yourself. You one day are going to have to reflect upon this Avera and do Teshuvah. Okay, Radak, let's see the Radak, how he types the Pasuk, and then we'll learn the Malm as another interpretation. Radak, Pasuk Yizayin says, Hanokel B'levesi Yudzayin Vayim Hanokel B'tzerei. The word over here in Pasuk Yitzayin is Hanokel. Under the Kuf is Itzere. Nifal Ovar, in the past tense. Oitoyar, or it's a description. Omar V'chikalhu Beinei Me'asoy Sato Evos Asha'osufo. Is it so light in their eyes to do what they're doing over here? Kimolu Es Aretz Chamos Ad Sheshavu Oy L'Achiseni B'Beisi. They've done enough already. Why do they have to go and do this when they've done already enough of Eretz? V'nei Sholchim Elas Hazmora Ez Alav. Now here's his interpretation. They are sending forth the Zmora to their nostrils. V'hinei Heim Mekatrim B'Beisi. They're offering incense in my bayis. V'sholchim Ruach HaTorosam El Api. And they're sending forth the fragrance of the Torah El Api to my Api. What does that mean? Milvar habezoyin she'osim li shemachzirin achareihem el ha'heichal. Besides the disgrace of turning backwards towards the heichal. Now, what does the Radak mean to say? Let's see the next word. Hazamayra perush reyach ra. Now he's coming to define what he said before. Odor. And this over here is the kinu for the guitarist, which was pleasant. This is what Chazal referred to. He makes it very, very clear. It's called itush, which means sneezing. Chazal, there are two types of sneezings. There's to sneeze from the nose, and then when a person passes gas and it makes sound, that's called itush. It means to sneeze in Chazal's terminology, but it's itush milamata, an itush from below. They're bringing basa. What's basa? The targum boshes. So the targum translates zemor is shame. Basa v'hu mok v'hu mikoyma boshes. It means the rectum. They're bringing forth odor from the place of shame. Efes. Right, Salama Apom. Okay, I have a mistake here. It says over here Ephes, it should be Apom. I'm going to get a lot of credit with Art Scroll when I show this to them. All the mistakes. Okay. As there also? Okay. Rotzalaimer Api. So Ela Shekina HaKosav, so the Radak is learning, it seems to be learning the pasuk exactly like Mitzudos, for who Echad Mishmoina, and here he adds in this point, for Echad Mishmoina Esrei Milin Shehem Tikun Seifim. I don't know what I told you, if this means there are 18 in the entire Tanakh, or there are 18 only in Sefer Yecheskel. I think we're only to be 18 in the entire Tanakh. In the entire Tanakh, there's one in Chumash. I remember this thing, I was a little child, I remember when I was in elementary school. So remember the Pentateuch, the blue interlinear Rashi? That was such a classic. That was before art school came along.
The Sansino.
Before they had the art school and before they have all these new things today to help you learn Rashi, they had in the olden days the blue. Those blue volumes. I still have it at home. When I put away in shame, it's a lot of old stuff. I still kept that because that's, you know, gear. So you can probably get it very good for free, probably. No, they sell. So there was one thing. I think they corrected it. There was one thing there where they wrote. There's a Rashi, there's a pasuk. I don't remember where it is. Somewhere in Bereishis where it says Tikun Seifer. It's one of the 18 places. And I remember by Berlovsky. It wasn't my Rebbe. It was our Berlovsky. It was the Rebbe in the fifth grade. He was a legend in Chaim Berlin Elementary School. So he was the fifth grade Rebbe. He was so disturbed. All the boys had it, and he was so disturbed in how they translated. In this Encino, how they should translate it, Tikun Seifrim, which gave the impression is that it was written one way, and the Rabbanan came along and rewrote it. Corrected, made it, and Hashem, you made a mistake, well, we're going to correct it for your honor. That's not what it means, of course. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'chatchila, he wrote it in this way, and Chazal referred to it with the term called Tikun Seifrim.
So, language by the
Munkach.
Yeah. The Munkach put the Chumash, the Tariq Mima, on the bottom shelf. He says, why are you putting it? He says, because who has the chutzpah to call himself a Tariq Mima? Tariq Mima. See, how could he go? So my father told the Munkach, he says, read the introduction. He says, he's not calling it because it's complete, but he's trying to guide you to it. Okay, so what did he accept it? Did he put it back on the shelf? Interesting. The Munkach Rebbe himself, wow.
Okay, but anyway, so he was so disturbed in how they translated, he took them all away, and he himself went and rewrote what he felt was the proper translation for Tikun Seifrim. Tikun Seifrim means the scribes made a correction. Again, it gives you the impression that Hashem wrote the Torah, transmitted the Torah to Moshe this way, and the Rabbanon, they came along and they corrected it. They changed the words. That's not what it means. Hashem gave the Torah the way we have it. And we refer to the fact that it does not say api, and instead says apam, as a concept called Tikun Seifrim. Hashem wrote in a different way to teach us that when you write about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should write something respectful, even though the theme that's really being conveyed is disrespectful. Okay, so here it says here there are 18 such examples that seemingly in Tanakh that are called Tikun Seifrim, which Mitsudo says is here is one of them. But take note that Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the pasuk should be translated literally, v'hinam sholchem es hazmara el apa, means to their own nostril. They're shooting themselves in the foot. Is that the expression? They're shooting themselves in the foot. Is that doing over here something that's so bizarre and so disrespectful? The day is going to come when they're going to have charata what they have done, and they're going to be ashamed of what they have done. So indeed, it's they're taking this odor and they're putting it in their nose. They're going to suffer from the odor for generations to come. Okay, now I will. Now I don't have the right the Malba. Other 17, that's right. And what is Rashi going to do? Because if there's the Masoret, it's 18. So what does Rashi do? And Rashi over here, it says only 16. Okay, now there is another interpretation, and that's from the Malbim. I don't have Malbim. Says something along the lines that Zemoira means a pruning utensil. It's a special tool you use for cutting, not just any cutting. You cut buds, you cut things, new growth. It's a pruning utensil. They took a zmara, they a pruning utensil. I mean, not to cut a mature tree, it's cutting a new bud. You don't want the tree, you don't want too many new things coming out. It's going to weaken the tree. So right in the beginning, it's in its incipient stage, you cut with a special utensil. Apom is anger. anger. So here the Baruch Malbim is a very profound idea that the Jewish people, Hashem is very angry. We have to take these words very seriously, because these words, again, as I said, are the last words before the spiritual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You want to learn about the physical destruction? You go to Sefer Melachim. You go to Sefer Yirmiyah. There you see the army of Nebuchadnezzar coming in. Here we have exactly the same thing happening, but with X-ray vision. You have some special goggles where you see the Churban happening from a spiritual perspective of who's coming in, the Mashchisim, the Chulah, the Chulah, we'll see in the next parrot. So this is the last thing. If this is the last thing, it's very significant. The Malbim says it means they are in their anger. Here we have anger, so right away we have an answer to the question, why would they do something like this? Why would they go have such disrespect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's because there's anger. And their anger has manifested itself by cutting off the new shoots, a pruning utensil, which means they're doing things to themselves that will prevent them from ever having a future. In other words, they themselves as adults may be finished. They already may have gone so far, it may be beyond the point of return. But they have children. You have children. So put your children, you don't want to be observant, so don't be observant. You're finished. You can't deal with this. But your children don't know the difference. So take your children, put them in cheder. Put them in a regular yeshiva. Be good to them. Let your children develop with yirah shamayim. You also appreciate there's mindless of having yirah shamayim. It's not for you. Okay, so it's not for you. But don't cut off in your anger, in your frustration, the future of Klal Yisrael. It says here that in their frustration, in their apam, they took out the pruning shears and they cut down the new growth. What are you doing that for, Hashem says? You want to worship idols? Worship idols. But give your children a chance. Let them make their own decision. What are you destroying the future of Klal Yisrael? That's what they did. And when that happens, then indeed, there's no future. If there's no future, so you don't need a Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the next parak begins, the Churban begins. Okay, so this is the approach of the Malbim. Sacha, we have over here many, many approaches. Sholchim es hazmara el apam, pshuta shol mikra, we refer to zmara, refers to the odor, the foul odor, and it's a euphemism to Hashem. Going back and describing an explanation of what it said in the previous passage. Rashi says no. Rashi says it's an explanation, but it's not to Hashem. It's you're going to be sorry for this one day. It's shameful what you're doing, and you're going to have to reflect upon this avera for generations to come. Menachem seems to be saying that it's just Hashem is describing what he thinks of Avodah Zarah. You may think that the sun is a god. Hashem says, in my eyes, the sun is a nothing. It's one of my servants. It's no worse, no different than excrement. The Malbim, whole new idea. You're cutting away in your apam and your anger the future of Klal Yisrael by taking out the prune shears to cut away the new potential, the new growth. Now, by the way, this pasuk I didn't see anywhere, but I'm assuming that this is one of the important mekoros for a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, a very mystical halacha. If a person is davening Shemayin Esher, we once spent a whole shiur on this. I have itush behalacha. Remember, I had a little kuntress. I once read a little kuntress called itush behalacha, sneezing in halacha. All the laws of sneezing. And it says in the Gemara that if a person is in the middle of Shemona Esrei, only Shemona Esrei, not anywhere else, and he comes Lidei Itush, is that a good sign or is that a bad sign? So it depends. If it's an Itush Lemala, it's a good sign. It means Hashem has Nachas Ruach from your Tefillah, from your Shemona Esrei, and the same way you're giving Hashem satisfaction, it's a sign Hashem will give you satisfaction. And to start, Hashem lets you sneeze. Because when you sneeze, I don't know what this means, Chazal say it's satisfying. Sneezing is satisfying, is it? Is sneezing satisfying? Maybe once or twice, not 50 times, but it's satisfying to some degree.
Yeah, the sinus condition,
yeah. What about if Rachmana Litzlan, a person has an itush lamata, he passes gas. Now, I don't know if that means there's sound or there's no sound. Okay, so you can take it in your interpretation. But Chazal say itush lamata is a bad sign. It means something is wrong. Now, the Poskim say two things. First of all, off the bat, if a person has a condition, did not have a good dinner last night, or a person has sinuses, a person has a cold, you can sneeze lamala, lamata, all you want, it doesn't make a bit of a difference. It means absolutely nothing. We're talking about a situation where there are no external environmental conditions which would cause the person to sneeze or eat a shlamala or lamata. It's a freak thing that happens. Why do you sneeze? I don't know. I don't know why. There's no dust in the shul. I don't have a cold. No one else is sneezing. I haven't sneezed in a month. Okay, you can take it as a good sign. Why was it a shlamata? I don't know. I'm clean. Everything is fine by me. Why did it happen? So then, in achanami, it's hashkocha pratis, there's a sign in Hashemayim. That's number one. Number two, bizman hazeh, we're not in a madrega to really take these things seriously anyway. So, bizman hazeh, just because you sneeze during Shemona Esrei, lamata, lamala, it really doesn't mean anything. Even all the conditions are, unless you're on a very holy level, you're very holy level, every word in Shemona Esrei has great meaning, and but this is what Chazal say. Now, where did Chazal get this from? Where do they get this from? Well, obviously, part of it comes from this. Because where are you going to find the Chazal? I mean, this is the most famous pasuk. It's the only pasuk, entire Chazal, where you find the concept of itush lamata. This itush lamata, and it says here, this is the end. It's all over. It's curtains. From here on in, it's all downhill. The Chorban begins. So if Rachmanu Litzlan, there's an itush lamata, that means you're connecting yourself to Sefer Yecheskel, the end of Perek Ches, which leads into the Churban Perek Tes. That means a person has to be Maharer B'tshuva. Itosh Lamala, where do you find in the Kodesh Lamala? Itosh Lamala, we know that it only comes from a Medrash. The only place we find in Chazal is there are no Pesukim, and that is Adam Harishain. Not Adam Harishain. Who was Adam Harishain? It was Yaakov. Yinei Avicha Choyle. On the Medrash Rabbah there says that until the time of Yaakov Avinu, he was the first one to get sick. Vihinei. Vihinei means unexpected, never happened before, something shocking. Until Yaakov Avinu, a person would sneeze and would die. That's how death would come, through sneezing. Why? The same way by Yipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, so too a person would sneeze, the neshama comes out. Notice death is always, the eyes are closed. The first thing the Chevra Kadisha does is they close the eyes. Death is defined in terms of the eyes being closed. Scientifically, we've discussed many times, it is impossible to keep your eyes open when you sneeze. So it's a very frightening thing. Sneezing means you are being forced to close your eyes. That basically means Rachmanu Litzlan, death. But yet you're alive. You're alive. You've survived death. Wow. Tchias HaMesin. That's a sign of life. So according to Chazal, the fact that Yaakov Avinu B'nei Yechayled tells us Chazal that the sneezing is how people died, and it makes sense, because dying means the forcing of the eyes to close, which is death. And that Hashem was Mevatel. You can sneeze all you want. You'll open up your eyes afterwards. So now sneezing became a sign of life, of Chayim. So Mamela, when a person sneezes during Shemona Esrei, it's a sign of life. It's a sign of Mechalak El Chayim B'chesed. It's a sign that your tefillahs have been neskabel, and indeed they will, because what is tefillah about? Tefillah is Miyichya Miyomah, it's all about life. Person sneezes during Shemona Esrei, it's a sign of life. So we have the two ends. Yaakov Avinu is sneezing Lamala, Itush, and here we have the Itush Lemata. Obviously what's happening over here is not a good thing, and therefore that's why Chazal tell us during Shemona Esrei to pay attention if something like this happens, of course assuming there are no external environmental reasons, stimuli that should cause a person to do this. Okay, so that pretty much concludes Perek Ches, and tomorrow Mirtz Hashem, there's one possible we'll do tomorrow. There's one more possible Yud Ches, we'll do that tomorrow Mirtz Hashem.